This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis riding out on old Dan again at this time, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. And we're happy to be back with you there in your home or your automobile or wherever you are at this time. I know the broadcast comes on at different times of the day and the night, so we're just happy to be with you whatever time it is when you hear the broadcast. Let me give you my mailing address. Sometimes I forget to do that. It's the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana 70174. If you bear with me, my throat's a little raspy, but the Lord knows all about those things, so you pray for me, if you will, day by day. We're bringing you a series of studies, have been, on the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we're looking at the letters to the seven churches that the Lord dictated to John there on the Isle of Patmos. And we've come down now to the church at Philadelphia, or someone says the favored church. Yes, it was a favored church, but the Lord said, I know thy works. And he went on to commend them, but he said he had set before them an open door. So he says here, we read on down, for thou hast a little strength, which means it was a small church. And I've compared it a little bit to radio missions here where the old Trailblazer broadcast comes from. We are not a wealthy church. We're just a small congregation, a bunch of old sinners, some saved, some lost. But this church was similar to the church there at Philadelphia. It was more like the church at Smyrna. It was a poverty-stricken church under persecution, yet it was true to God's word and had never denied his name. And then he goes on to say he'd open this door and no man could shut it. Now, we're going to get back to that in just a moment, but if you will, just stay with us. We're going to bring in this study. We lost our place there for just a moment, but we'll catch it back up. Sometimes everything doesn't go right when you're in the studio by yourself. But the Lord knows all about those things, and he give us grace to go on day by day. So you just stay with us, if you will, and pray for me. Just pray for me. And the Lord will get all the glory out of everything that's said and done. He says, thou hast a little strength, meaning it was a small, not wealthy church, but it was poverty-stricken. But the Lord had commended them for those things. And in other words, as they entered the doors for service that God had opened to them, they kept his word. They preached it and taught it in the power of the Holy Spirit. The world and the unsaved religionists could make fun of them, laugh at them, persecute them, cast them out of their society, whatever the religious circles they were in, or it made no difference. Same way with us here at the old Trailblazer broadcast. I have folks call me a crackpot, a speckled bird, outcast, but they counted the fellowship of Christ more valuable than the treasures of the world, just like we do here. They were not ashamed to be identified with the Lord. They were not ashamed of his word, and they counted it as the highest honor to be reckoned among the despised of the despised few. They did not compromise God's word, and neither have we done that here. I often praise the Lord for holding our feet to the fire, never letting us stray away from what the Lord has done for us and what the Lord's word said. They believed God's word verbally, that it was verbally inspired, written in heaven, and that his promises were true, his judgments were just and righteous altogether. They believed in the virgin birth of Christ. He was the Son of God. He was the Son of Man. They believed he lived a sinless, perfect, holy life, came into the world to die as a sin offering for sinners. They also believed that he was the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. They believed his death on the cross. This is substantially what we preach and teach here at the old Trailblazer broadcast. That's exactly right. They believed in the bodily resurrection of Christ. And let me stop here and mention, we have a pamphlet I put together here called things most surely believed by us here at Radio Missions at the Trailblazer broadcast. Sitting down, what we preach and teach, because people ask us that all the time. People write me and say, "Oh, Trailblazer, what do you preach there?" So I have this put together if you'd like to have it. You write me, I'll be glad to send it to you, free and postpaid. Things most surely believed among us here at the old Trailblazer. Also, you can pick us up there on our website at radiomissions.org, and I believe it's printed out there on the website, Things Most Surely Believed. They believed in the bodily resurrection of Christ, same as we do, that he arose from the dead on the third day according to the Scriptures, same as we do, and they believed that he returned to heaven bodily, and he's soon coming again as ruling king. We recently brought a series of studies here on the Trailblazer broadcast, the soon coming of our blessed Lord, the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have all those messages on tape and on CD if you'd like to have them. You write me, I'll quote you a price on the whole series. They're very inexpensive. And they also believe and patiently waited and prayed and longed for the coming of our Lord. They believed in the eternal punishment of the damned. They believed in the eternal reward of the redeemed. They believed in old-time Bible conviction, Holy Ghost conviction. They preached repentance and remission of sin. I mentioned in our last study, a couple of Wednesday nights ago, I brought a message on preach repentance and remission, because the Lord said there in Luke 14, I believe it is, 20:47, I'm not sure. He said that you go into the world and preach repentance and remission of sin. They believed in those things, my friend. They believed that a sinner had to be born again before he could be saved. They believed in the eternal security of the believer in Christ. In other words, they kept the word. It says, he says, "Thou hast kept my word." And essentially, that's what we believe here. I've named off these things because true Christians, true churches, true Bible churches believe those things that we have just enumerated. Let the world deny it, but they kept it. Let the unsaved religionists compromise and laugh and make fun, but they kept the word of Christ. Let the world make fun, but they preached it. Then he goes on to say, "Thou hast not denied my name." They reverenced the name of Christ. They followed around, they fellowshipped around that name, according to Acts 2:42. His name was precious to their souls. Oh, it was no sweet Jesus, my friend. I get so tired of hearing this. Everywhere you go in the grocery store, they say, "Have a sweet Jesus day, mister." If you go into wherever you go. And then we have folks write me from all over this country wanting to sell me T-shirts to give out to our people. Wash your car and give you a T-shirt. All that. With that slogan on it. Sweet Jesus. Just trust Jesus. And I get so tired of it, I want to puke. Oh, but my friend, no. It was not sweet Jesus with them. His name was precious. It was their conversation when they were together. I never get tired. We just recently had our fellowship day here at the church. We have twice a year. And our folks come in from all over the country. Our radio listeners come in here and fellowship with us for several days and have our, what old Baptist preachers used to call dinner on the ground, preaching all around, homecoming day. Well, we had many, many, many here, hundreds of folks here come in for that those days. And I enjoyed the sitting around the table at night after service. We had service every night, Monday through Friday, Thursday night. And then folks would come by the parsonage. We have a large, commodious parsonage where folks can stay with us. We sleep about 39 or 40. And they'd come by and get a sandwich and a cup of coffee or something to drink after service. And we'd sit there for an hour or so. A lot of times I'd get up and go to bed and leave them talking because I had to get up early. And they know how I am. But they sit up till 12 o'clock sometime. I'd have to tell them, "Look, now you got to get up in the morning." But they'd sit there and talk. They didn't talk politics. They didn't talk about the stock market. They didn't talk about those things. They talked about the Lord, what the Lord had done for them and what the Lord means to them. All of those things, my friend. And what the Lord means to his people. That's what we speak about. in what the Lord means to us. And it's such a gracious time to sit and do those things. But that's what these folks here did. It was food for their soul, joy to their hearts. They found their satisfaction and all of their pleasure in that name. I know we live in the world. I'm not stupid. I know we're in the world, but we're not of the world. When your time becomes free, don't you enjoy getting away from, close it all out? I like to do that. I tell folks I like to go out on the back porch sometime, the evening sun going down, the shadows coming around. Just sit out there and meditate upon what the Lord has done for the old trailblazer. I think we've gotten away from that. Our folks live in this hurly-burly world. I see our young folks. They're not to blame, folks. We have allowed the world to take over our homes, take over our church. The world has come in. Now the world tells the preacher what to preach. I know, my friend. I talk to some of these young preachers, and they tell me, said, Trailblazer, if I spoke like you do, if I told folks they were going to hell if they didn't repent, they'd put the rollers under me in a few minutes. I said, well, my friend, my young Christian friend, I'd get my suitcase, set it down by the pulpit one Sunday morning, and I'd preach hell off the cross, tell them they're all going to hell if they don't repent. And I'd pick up my suitcase and head out. I wouldn't give them a chance to fire me. I'd tell them, y'all take it, pour it back in the jug, and put a jug lid on it, and go to hell for your trouble. Now, you say, Trailblazer, you're mean and harsh and cruel. I'm not. No, my responsibility, my friend, is to warn sinners to flee from the wrath to come. I tell this little story once in a while. Maybe I have time to tell it about this old man over there in Alabama somewhere. And it come a storm that evening late and into the night. So he was back in the back checking on his fence rows and maybe some of his cows had gotten out or maybe. And there was a railroad track running around behind his house about a half a mile. And he knew that train would be coming, so he went down to the creek, and the trestle, the bridge, had washed out. And he said, oh, my. And he had his old headlight and the carbide light and the rubber boots on, and he started down that track. He knew the train would be there. He looked at his watch, and he said, the train will be there. Had an old coal oil lantern. Didn't have a flashlight back then. And he ran down that track as fast as he could go. And after a while, he grew tired and weary, and he could listen. He could hear the hum of the train, the whine on those tracks. And a little while around the curve came that big old light, that old beacon light. You've seen it if you know anything about a train. Shines for a half a mile. And he kept running, he kept running, he kept running. He knew if that train went over that bridge, those folks, it was a passenger train, those folks would plunge out into eternity. He kept running, kept running. After a while, he saw he wasn't going to do much good. The train didn't slow up, didn't see him. He was waving his lantern. So he got on the shoulder there in the gravel, in the rocks, the dirt. And he got a good stance there. And he took that old coal oil lantern by the handle. And he waited. And that train was coming, lickety-split. And he took that old coal oil lantern by the handle. And it just at that moment that train came by, he hurled that lantern into that open window of that car where the engineer was there. Open window there, and he slung that lantern up into that. And all the glass broke, and the fire and the coal all spilt, and it woke that gentleman up. And he knew something was wrong. And he got out on that brake, and that old train went to squealing and squalling. And it stopped just a few yards from that bridge. Now, my friend, that's what I have to do, is to warn folks to flee. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming, my friend. It's right around the corner. Can I warn you to flee? Can I tell you of the judgment that's coming if you never come to know the Lord? You say, well, I don't have time. Yes, you'll have plenty of time. You'll have plenty of time, my friend, when judgment falls. When your eyes close in death, you'll have plenty of time. You need to seek the Lord now. And I'd be remiss if I didn't warn you. The Lord gave me this opportunity to warn sinners to flee from the wrath to come. And that's what I do here primarily, day in and day out. My message is primarily a warning message to flee. The scripture says, how shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? Are you neglecting your soul, my friend? I hope you're not. The old trailblazer is praying for you. Would you write me and tell me that you know the Lord and you're helping me with the broadcast and praying for me that the message will go out to your folks and mine? I don't know of a family that doesn't have lost loved ones, my friend. Folks who don't care about the gospel. I have them in my own family. Would you pray for my family? Remember, my mailing address is the old trailblazer. Treasure, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana 70174. Goodbye, and God bless you.